morning, everyone. A warm word of welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to see each and every one gathered in such a blustery and a wet and a miserable morning. I was wondering to myself when I seen all the storms and the rain, how many would be here. But then I remember one time when I was a student and I came here to preach, and the driveway was flooded, and I came to the gate and wondered, is it safe even to come in through the driveway? And that day I just seen people just plough on in. And I knew you're hearty folk. Whenever you can be here in the house of the Lord, you are here. And we're delighted to see you this morning. We pray that the Lord will bless us as we come together to worship the Lord. And to those online as well, we welcome you in the Saviour's name as you join with us in that format. Do remember the services as they continue through the day. We have our evening service at 7 p.m. and we'll meet for prayer at 6:30. And we do encourage and look for you even to come back again this evening and to come around God's Word and to study God's Word with us and to worship the Lord here in His house. We're returning just to finish off looking at Paul's address to the Ephesian elders at that time in Acts 20 as he's leaving the island of Miletus. And it'll be good to see each one gathered again to God's house this evening. Monday evening continues the children's work at 7 p.m. here in the church. And as always, we do commend that work to you in your prayers that the Lord will bless and even work amongst the boys and the girls. We meet for Bible study and for prayer on Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. here in the church. And we extend to each one, young and old alike, that invitation to come aside even in the middle of the week and to come and to pray and to study God's Word together. Young people, we gather then on Friday evening at 8 p.m. and we do encourage and look for the young people even to come. And as we continue to go through Pilgrim's Progress, we had to cancel just at short notice the other week. But young people, if you've read up to page 75 of Pilgrim's Progress for this Friday night, please. The Sabbath services next week beginning with the Sunday school in the morning at 10:30. And in the normal times of worship, 11:30 and 7 p.m. with the seasons of prayer before both services. And we do look for you and encourage you to invite and let others know of the meetings as well as we meet to worship the Lord here in the services next Sunday. After the time of prayer yesterday morning, there was a brief presbytery meeting online. And from that presbytery meeting, there is a short statement which the presbytery desires to be read in all of our congregations this morning. And it says, the General Presbytery of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster gives thanks to Almighty God for looking upon our nation in mercy, withdrawing the more extreme symptoms of the COVID-19 pandemic, which have caused death and serious illness. We are grateful for the removal of all statutory restrictions upon our public worship and are authorising our sessions and our committees to take the necessary steps transitioning our people back to normality. We continue to pray for all who have been affected by the pandemic through bereavement and illness, that they will know grace and comfort. And so that's the statement that was just issued from our presbytery yesterday morning. And of course, in the recent days, there has been the removal of the restrictions upon the mandatory face covering. But can we just say to you that it is now completely your own choice how and when you desire to wear face coverings. If you feel more comfortable wearing them for the entire service or wearing them coming in and going out, then please continue to do so. And when you feel safer to take them off, then that is your own choice. But it's now completely in your hands in that regard. We just asked you that you do be mindful of others around you, and we do continue to look to the Lord for His blessing and for His hand upon the work here in the church. We're going to commence with singing the hymn 205. The hymn 205 on the page 259. Not have I gotten, but what I received, grace hath bestowed it since I believed. Boasting excluded, pride I abased, I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. 205 will stand as we sing, please. Stand. Let's unite together in prayer. Seek the Lord's blessing, the Lord's presence with us. Our Father and our God in heaven, we come before thee with thanksgiving and with praise in our hearts. We do rejoice this day in the grace of God. We do, O God, stand amazed in the presence of Jesus in Nazareth. And we wonder how he could love us, sinners, condemned and unclean. And Father, we acknowledge that it's only by grace that we are saved. Not through faith, that not of ourselves, but it is the gift of God. And Father, we thank thee for that grace that saves. We thank thee, O God, that it plucks us out of that miry clay. It plucks us as those brands from the burning. And Lord, it saves us. And it keeps us. And it watches over us even forevermore. And we thank thee for the grace of God. We do acknowledge this day that there's no other way of salvation. And there's no other way to have peace with thee. But it is through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's through the grace of God. It's through the cross of Christ, the salvation which he purchased at that highest of cost. And we thank thee this day that we are justified in his blood. We thank thee this day, O God, that we are saved. We thank thee that we experience that grace of God even each and every day. But Father, we pray for those that are amongst us, or, O God, even those in our family circles, and those in this community that have never experienced the grace of God. O Father, that thou wilt have mercy upon them, that thou wilt save them, O God, that they will experience that grace, that amazing grace, that grace that saves and sets the sinner free. O Father, we thank thee that we are still living in that day of grace. We thank and praise thee that souls still can be saved and are being saved. That blood that was shed upon Calvary almost 2,000 years ago is still powerful, and it's still able to save the vilest offender who truly believes. And O Father, we ask thee that even in the days in which we live, that grace will be evident in lives in this area. That grace will be evident right across this land. That this nation which is turned far from thee, O God, once again we will live and experience the grace of God in revival and in that soul as saving business once again. Lord, bless us, we pray, in these days. Bless us as we gather to thy house today. O Father, we pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon our meetings both morning and evening. We're thankful, O God, for thy hand of help and mercy even given already as the boys and the girls and the young people, Lord, attended the Sabbath school. We thank thee for that help given to thy servants who brought forth thy word afresh to them. We pray that word will continue to speak, that thou wilt give the desire of the hearts of the teachers even to see those children, those young people saved and built up in faith. And O Father, that thou wilt bless those young people, that thou wilt bless those children. And, O God, that they will be kept even by thee and watched over and, Lord, saved and, Lord, even shining lights in the school place and in the days to come. Lord, remember us for good this morning as we gather in this house. Remember, O God, each one that is here, every household, every family that is represented. Lord, bless, we pray thee. And bless those, O God, who tune in online. We think of those in our congregation who are unable to be with us. Lord, due to illness or due to infirmity of body, Lord, we ask thee that thou wilt continue to be their portion. Continue, O God, to watch over them, to keep thy hand upon them. And even soon we pray thee that it will be possible for them to join with us once again. Lord, remember those in homes and nursing homes. Remember those, O God, in hospital. Continue with that touch upon them physically. And Lord, watch over them and encourage them and be unto them all that they would need. Lord, bless, we pray thee. O God, how much we need the outpouring of the Holy Ghost in these days. How much we need the Lord to move, to blow upon our land with revival blessing. To send those showers of blessing once again for the windows of heaven to be open. And O Father, give us expectant hearts. Give us, O God, that hunger for righteousness and that hunger for revival. And give us, O God, that faith, even to the size of a mustard seed, to say unto the mountains, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. O Father, increase our faith, increase our devotion, Increase our prayer lines. Oh Father, give us, oh God, hearts that are stirred and hearts that are on fire for Thee. And Lord, work within us and work, oh God, through us. And Lord, may ones, even in this area, be reached and challenged, oh God, and turned even unto Thee. Oh Father, hear and answer our prayers. And be with us and bless us this day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to read together the next of our Psalms. And we come this morning to Psalm 128. Psalm 128. Again, it carries the title, A Song of Degrees. Psalm 128, the verse 1, Blessed is every one that feareth the Lord, and that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labour of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. The hymn 197 we'll sing together at this stage. The page is 256. Tell me the old, old story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. 197 we'll stand again as we sing, please.
Thank you.
Turning now to the book of Ruth, to the chapter 1. Friday evening, my watch packed in, the battery's dead. I was going to preach at that meeting in our Roma congregation for their youth council night of prayer. And I got there and I said, whenever it took a while, obviously with the blizzard and the snow and everything, it took a while for the meeting to get going as different youths were coming together. When I got up to preach, I said to them, I says, my watch packed in this evening. I says, I'm relying on the clock in the back wall. And I looked down and one of the elders of Oma looked at me and he says, don't rely on that clock. Well, I can just about see that one, and we're relying on that now to get us out before the evening service. But Ruth, in the chapter 1, I just want to read two verses, verse 6 and verse 7. Ruth 1, verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, speaking of Naomi, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. I want to speak in these two verses this morning under the heading, God's Grace Towards a Sinner. God's Grace Towards a Sinner. Let's just have a moment's prayer, please, and still ourselves in God's presence. Our Father and our God in heaven, we bow before Thee. And Lord, we just ask Thee with Thy word open before us that now that Thou wilt come and still us in Thy presence, that Thou wilt still our minds, that Thou wilt still our hearts. And Father, that this time, even now around Thy word, that it will be a special time. It will be a sacred time, O God, when our minds are not drawn out to any other thing. But, O God, our minds are upon Thee and upon Thy word. We thank Thee that salvation is of Thee. We thank Thee that grace is found in God and in God alone. And Lord, we ask Thee that even this day, that if there be those that have never experienced Thy grace, that this day that Thy grace will be imparted to them, and they will taste and see that the Lord is good. Father, bless us even now, I pray Thee, in Jesus' name. Amen. One particular hot summer's day, it was a Sunday, and a congregation in England had gathered together to worship the Lord. And because of the heat of the day, and of course we long for those days when you come into church in such days as today, but that particular hot summer's day, the doors of the church had been left open to let a bit of a breeze, a bit of a draft come through into the church for the congregation. And as the service was continuing, this lady looked up and she noticed this little bird had flown in through the door. And once it came into the church, it couldn't find its way out. And her mind and her eye was upon this bird, and she watched it as it flew back and forth around the church, seeking some way of getting out. And the lady, she thought to herself, my, what a foolish bird. Why can't the bird remember the way it came in? The door is still open. No one has closed that door. Why can the bird not just get out the same way that it got in? And she continued to watch the bird, and eventually the bird was exhausted and it flew up into the rafters and it perched itself up there in one of the wooden beams. And once the bird was there, and the lady continued to watch, once the bird was there and settled, then it was able to look around and it saw the door. And very quickly then the bird took to flight straight through the door, and outside it could be heard even making that sound of singing, rejoicing in its freedom once again. But you know, the lady, as she had watched that entire action taking place, that entire time of the bird coming in and flying around, it hit her. And it moved her to such an extent that she thought upon herself. And she thought to herself, I'm just like that bird. Because I've been struggling with my load of sin. I've been struggling with my burden. And I've been trying to figure out how to have my sin and the burden of my sin removed. And I've been panicking, going to and fro. And yet all along, the door of God's grace has been opened to me. And I haven't went through it.
And there and then, as she sat in that pew, in that hot summer's day in church, she cried unto the Lord for salvation. She went through the door. She went through the Lord Jesus Christ. She asked Him for forgiveness of sin, to take that burden, that load of sin off her back, off her heart, and to save her completely. You know how true it is that we are completely saved by grace. Outside of grace, there is no salvation at all. There's nothing in this world that can give us salvation. There's nothing in and of ourselves that can give us salvation. Salvation, even as it says behind me, is of the Lord. You know, as we return to the book of Ruth and to these verses, these two verses we read this morning, and remembering, of course, everything that we've already considered in this book, remembering everything that's already recorded for us in the opening five verses, remembering how Elimelech and Naomi and the two children, the two boys, they left Bethlehem at the time of the famine, and remembering how they'd went out in their rebellion and how they'd went out rejecting God's word. And they'd went and resided in that place of Moab. And of course, remembering what had happened. Remembering how Elimelech's life was taken. And then the two sons, as they continued to grow up, took wives in that land of Moab, and then they too passed away. And now we come to this point. Naomi is rendered and left with nothing. She is completely barren of all her loved ones. And she is there. And then we read what we read this morning, these two verses, 6 and 7. You know, when I read these two verses, I see nothing but the grace of God. I see nothing but the grace of God being shown towards her. You know, whenever you consider the grace of God, it's such a massive, such a wonderful subject even to spend time upon. Whenever you consider the grace of God towards filthy sinners, towards those that are rebellious against Him, towards those that are filthy with sin, both in heart and both in their thoughts, their words, their deeds, those that are completely against God and those that abhor God even with their actions. And yet God shows grace. God gives grace even to such individuals as myself. That God would set His love and show grace to a filthy, hell-deserving sinner such as I. You know, it takes to an even higher level our appreciation of what God's grace is towards us. Charles Hodge, the theologian, he said, "The doctrines of grace humble a man without degrading him, and exalt a man without inflating him." You see, grace is all of God. Salvation is all of God. And when you apply that to Naomi in her current situation, in her current setting, you see God's grace even towards her in three very simple ways. I want to leave them with you this morning. Firstly, you see God's grace towards her in hearing the news. In hearing the news. The verse 6, it tells us that she arises with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab, how that the Lord had visited His people in giving them bread. Don't let that little detail pass you by. Don't let that little detail that's recorded for us, that she heard of God's blessing, that she heard of God's provision, that she heard even in spite of the fact that she was empty, in spite of the fact that she was now without husband, in spite of the fact that she was now without children, she was completely ravished in terms of the sin had left her in such a state. She has went out full and now she is empty. She had went out pleasant, now she is bitter. She is in a completely awful state there in Moab, that place of sin. And yet God, in His infinite grace, allowed her to hear that He had provided bread. In spite of all of her rebellion, in spite of her rejection of God's word and God's teaching and God's law, In spite of the fact that she and her husband had agreed together to leave behind God's place, to leave behind God's land, and to turn aside even into Moab, in spite of all of that, God allowed her. And God in grace gave her the opportunity to hear that there was bread in Bethlehem. How she heard, we don't know. Maybe it was a passing merchant. Maybe it was one who was going from city to city selling his wares, buying and trading. Maybe it was just someone passing through. But whatever the format, whatever the means that God used, God allowed her to be in a certain place at a very certain time to hear that word. Have you heard? Bethlehem has got bread again. The famine is over. God has sent a harvest. God has sent an increase. God is giving them bread once again. And Naomi was in the right place at the right time to hear the right message. Now you might think to yourself what we mentioned last week in terms of the distance between Moab and Bethlehem. We highlighted last week it's only roughly about 20 miles apart. And we highlighted the danger even whenever you're in Bethlehem, you can look over to Moab and you can see the times of enjoyment that they were having, the times of ease that they were having. And you might then think to yourself, well surely then Naomi could look and could see Bethlehem from Moab. Surely Naomi could see the crops as they were growing in the fields. No longer were the fields that whitey, yellowy, browny colour of just pure barrenness. She could look across the river. She could look across at the fields. And surely she can see crops growing. Surely she could see for herself. Surely she could come for herself. Let me ask the question, is that how it works in salvation? Do individuals just come of themselves to the place of blessing? Do individuals just come to the cross of Christ themselves? Do individuals even in this area just lift up the Bible themselves? Do individuals come aside to the place where they know gospel is preached? Do they come themselves? Do they just see it and they say, oh, that's where I want to go? Or is it only when the grace of God by His Spirit awakens them and causes them to come? You think how many live in close proximity to our church? You think of how many live in close proximity to the many gospel preaching churches there are in Northern Ireland? Walking distance. They can look out their front door, they can simply look round the corner, they can see there's a place, and they know there's a place that preaches the gospel. How many come? How many of themselves decide, I'm going to go there? How many drive past every Sunday? How many cycle past every Sunday? And let me tell you, in the warmer weather, there's a lot cycle of past on a Sunday morning on that road. Many individuals are so close and can see it with their eyes. How many of them even have a Bible in their homes? Many homes you'll go to, and many, many individuals across our land, you'll go and you'll knock a door and you'll say to them, tell me, just out of interest, do you have a Bible in your house? Oh yes, yes, I have a Bible. Where is it now? It's in one of the bookcases somewhere, or maybe it's even up in the roof space. Individuals are so close to the word of truth, and yet they don't go to it themselves. It was only in the mercy and the grace of God that Naomi heard. It was only in the mercy and the grace of God that news reached her. Now rightly, justly, she could have been abandoned. God justly could have left her in Moab to rot until her own day of death. God had no cause and he had no justification to say that lady deserves to hear. Because after all, she had left God's land of blessing. She had left God's land of provision. She had turned her back on God's word. She had turned her back on God's law. She had willingly went aside to sin. God justly could have left her in Moab until her dying day, never to hear, never to experience the blessing again. And yet God gave grace. And God showed mercy. And instead of the justice, she experienced grace in simply hearing the message. My friend today, whether it be in this building or listening online, and you simply coming under gospel preaching, and you simply hearing of your need of salvation, that you're a sinner who's far from God, and you simply hearing that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. His death upon the cross is the only way to have your sins cleansed. His resurrection from the dead is the only way to have life everlasting. You simply hearing that is grace in itself. Because there are many, many churches with individuals sitting in them that never hear the gospel. And there are many individuals, even in Northern Ireland, with the many churches there are, and yet there are individuals who never hear their need to be saved. You coming under the sound of preaching, let me say this, that you're not blessed today because of who's in the pulpit. You're blessed today because of the message in terms of the gospel. Christ died for your sins. And he rose from the dead. And through his death and his resurrection, you can be saved forever. The Lord has blessed you today and he is saying to you that he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. And what was it that Naomi heard there in Moab? Verse 6, it tells us she heard how the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. God has given bread. God had given the people a gift. Notice the words it says, the Lord has visited his people in giving them bread. There's a gift that has been given and God is the giver. God is the one who came upon the Israelite people. God is the one who came to the Israelite people and came upon the land and gave the increase. God is the giver. He was the giver. The bread was the gift. My, what a picture that is of the gospel. God gave his son. His only begotten son. Christ is the true bread. John 6:32, it says, my Father giveth you true bread from heaven. And you think of the coming of Jesus Christ. That true bread came first to Bethlehem. And he was laid in that manger. Christ himself, he would say in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. That's the news you're hearing today. That's the news that's given to you by the grace of God. Yes, Naomi heard about physical bread. She heard about the coming of the provision for the physical needs of the body. And yet today you're hearing about the spiritual. There's spiritual bread to be had. God has given it. Christ is the bread. John 6 again, verse 33, it says, the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Tell me, is there any better news to hear today? Is there any better message to hear in this world today than that the Lord has given his Son? And that God has given his only begotten Son to come down into this world to seek and to save that which was lost, to provide that salvation full, free to you. And you're hearing about it today. There was grace of God in hearing the news. But then secondly, I want you to see there was grace of God as well in heeding the news. The verse 6 again, it tells us that she arose with her daughters in law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard. It was only by grace that she heard the news. And it was only by grace that she heeded the news. It was not a foregone conclusion that she would return. Remember, she had only come to Moab, as we highlighted last week. She only came to sojourn. And yet, once they were there as a family, they continued. At no point was there the desire to return. At no point was there mention, up until this point where she heard this news. Never before had she heard or had it been mentioned to us that they desired to return. Even after Elimelech died. Now Naomi is the matriarch. Naomi is the leader of the family. The father's passed away. And yet even now, as the children, as those boys continue to grow into men, at no point did the mother say, right, we're going back. Rather, there in that place of sin, what you have are deeper roots even being put down after his death. Because the two boys then marry. There is a sinking deeper and deeper into sin. There's that stronger grip of sin being placed around them and upon them. The longer they stay, the roots go deeper. The grip becomes tighter around them. Never is there that desire to leave. And yet in one instant, that messenger, or that traveler, whoever the individual was, when that news came to her, in that instant, immediately she said, we're going home. After all of those years of passing, after everything that had taken place, after all of the roots being put down, and not embracing of sin, and not embracing of the culture, and all of the lifestyle of Moab, yet in one instant, when that news came to her, immediately all changed. Because verse 6, it starts with those words, then she arose when she heard the news. That news came to her ears. That news then went down into her mind, into her heart. And immediately no longer was the contentment in sin. No longer was the happiness to reside in such a place. No longer was there a joy in being in such an individual place as Moab. Now there's a discontentment to remain even a moment longer. It wasn't even a case that she went home to have a conversation with Ruth and with Orpah. It wasn't even the case that she went home to deliberate upon it and to think upon it. She heard it. She immediately was moved. Now there's discontentment. Now there's a disconnect. All that matters to her is this news. The Lord has visited his people in giving them bread. How do you explain that change in mentality? How do you explain that change in motivation? How is it that someone who had spent so many years seemingly content there and enjoying and enveloping themselves and just encapsulating themselves in everything of Moab, how is it that suddenly, in an instant, all has changed? Grace. And only grace. You see, it is only by the grace of God that men and women heed the good news of the gospel. It doesn't matter if a preacher pleads and begs with them. It doesn't matter if he gets down on his knees before them. It doesn't matter if a mother or father weeps upon their pillows and weeps even upon their children begging. God's grace does not enter in. There's nothing changes. God's grace changes everything. Nor ye think upon it so often, witnessing falls upon deaf ears. Invitations extended, tracts distributed, calendars going round the area hanging in individuals' homes. That gospel text upon it month after month, and there are always texts bringing the gospel to individuals. And yet individuals can read those texts of Scripture, and individuals can hear the invitations, they can hear the words of witnessing, and yet nothing can change. And yet then in an instant when God's grace hits, everything changes. Now I think even of that prayer request that our brother Irwin sent over, we noted last Wednesday evening in the reports from the Scottish churches, he mentioned the individual who's been coming to his church for decades. And for decades he has heard the Reverend Irwin preach. And I have no doubt the Reverend Irwin has preached the gospel faithfully every week. And yet that man is still not heeding the news. Because it's nothing the Reverend Irwin will say. It's nothing the Reverend Irwin will do. But it's God's grace that changes. It's God's grace that opens the heart. It's God's grace that stirs the sinner. As I said, so often we can, and we do, you invite your children, you invite your loved ones, your neighbors, you tell them their need of salvation, you send the gospel tracts, the calendars, you witness every way that's possible to do, and yet you're left asking the question like the prophet Isaiah, who hath believed our report? And all of the sermons, all of the preaching, all of the gospel campaigns, all of the individual witnessing, even the texts that are upon walls and upon trees, and all of the different ways that the gospel has been presented in this land, and yet so many just are cold and indifferent, and you're left with that question, who hath believed our report? Has anyone? And yet, when you read that verse 6, you just look and you see what grace can do in an instant. Because everything changed. Naomi heard that message and she immediately heeded it. Let me say, child of God, this morning, take encouragement for your loved ones. Even after years have passed. Even after countless prayers have been offered. Even after countless invitations have been given to your children. And even after the countless times that they have heard the gospel. And all of the different ways and means that you seek to win them for Christ. In an instant, God can change them. You might think, oh, as years go on, they're only getting harder. It's only getting stronger, the resolve against the gospel. It's only getting more difficult to witness for them. Those little chinks of light that were once there, seemingly now they're gone. And yet, take encouragement this morning. Doesn't matter how many years pass, God in an instant can break them. God in an instant can change them. God in an instant can cause them not only to hear, but to heed. Naomi had spent years in Moab. And yet in an instant, all was changed. Don't lose hope this morning. Keep praying for the grace of God to awaken your loved ones. To stir them. And to cause them not only to hear, but to cause them to heed. You know, the verse 19 of chapter 1 is just a wonderful wee description. Because in verse 19 of chapter 1, it tells us that whenever Naomi and Ruth come to Bethlehem, It says that all the city was moved about them. And they said, "Is this Naomi?" When I read that verse and I think of it, there's a city, and you can just sense the amazement. There's Naomi walking in through the gate. And the whole city's moved, and it's as if they're all thinking to themselves, "I never thought we'd see her again. I never thought it'd be possible after all of these years have passed. Never once in my wildest dreams did I ever believe Naomi would come home. Never once did I ever believe Naomi would return to this house and to this city of David, or to this city, this town of Bethlehem once again. Never." And yet there she was. Beyond their expectations. Beyond what they believed possible. God's grace did the impossible. Remember, the Lord is able to give you much more than you ask or even think. Oh, that we would see that even today and in the days ahead, for the loved ones, for those that grew up in this congregation. That even after years, and maybe if we're honest, they're individuals and you give up hope on them. You think it's not possible. With God, all things are possible. And the hardened sinners can hear, and by God's grace can heed that message that there's bread and there's blessing in Christ. There was the heeding and the hearing. But then the verse 7, thirdly and finally, the last evidence of the grace here is the heading. The heading. Because after the news, it tells us wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on their way to return unto the land of Judah. She heard, she heeded, and then she headed out. There was an acting upon the news. She didn't just hear the news and then take it home and think, "Well, that's good." She didn't just ponder upon it. She immediately got up. She accepted the news. She believed what she had heard. And she immediately then set about getting together herself, getting together those little possessions, whatever it was she was able to carry. And she immediately went. In spite of what she had to leave behind, she was willing to give it up. She was willing to give up Moab. She was willing to leave behind all of the pleasures that she had enjoyed and all that Moab offered. She was willing to forsake all of those crazes, all of those activities that she had involved herself in. She was willing to turn her back on them all and to say, "I will never go again to such a place. I will never go again and be in such a place. I will never live. I will never partake in those worldly activities ever again." She was willing to turn her back on it all. She was even willing to leave behind family. Remember, by getting up and getting out of Moab, and going to the place where the Lord had provided the bread, she's leaving behind a husband and two sons in their graves, in the understanding she would never visit them again. She's willing to do it all because of the news that she heard. That loved one, that husband, those two children that she brought into this world, those two children that she watched being raised up and growing in their knowledge, growing in their stature, those two individuals that even she watched as they became husbands, Yet she was willing to leave their graves behind. She was willing to leave their bodies behind, never to visit, never to have that time at a gravesite again, never to go and to mourn over them again or anything like that. She's willing to leave it all behind because of the news. All because of that news that she received and that she believed. God has given his people a gift. Bread. Let me say this morning, unsaved, that's exactly what you must do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You must hear it. You must heed it. You must act on it. The gospel is full, the gospel is free, and all you simply have to do is take it. And to take it, you must turn from what you once were. There must be that turning away from sin. There must be that giving up of sin. There must be that desire even within the heart. And it's only by grace that it can be activated and brought upon you that you are willing to turn away, to give it up. To say, I'm done with the world. And I'm done with the pleasures of this world. I'm done with the sins of this world. Now I'm going to that place where bread is being given by the Lord himself. I'm going to the cross. I'm going to the Lord Jesus Christ. Naomi, she came away from Moab. She left it all behind. Regardless of the cost, regardless of the past, regardless of her history, she moved and heeded the news of bread. Willing to leave everything behind, to forsake all, to go to Bethlehem. See, if you want to truly be a child of God and a follower of Christ, you must deny self. You must take up your cross. You must follow. You see, for Naomi even to return, and you see it even in the confession she's going to give at the end of the chapter, there had to be a confession that she was wrong. Not easy to say you're wrong. And yet she was willing to return to Bethlehem, and she said it even, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. Why? She's bitter. She's empty. And that was a confession even before the people. I was wrong in what I was doing. I was wrong in where I went. I was wrong to turn away from God. Regardless of how that makes me look. Pride I abase, because why? I'm only a sinner. I can be saved by grace. You know, you this morning might think, you think of your life, you think of all that you're involved in. Think, sinner, this morning of the pleasures that you're enjoying, and you might think, oh, I could never give that up. I could never turn my back on those things that I'm involved in, whether it be the sports that take you and take all of your attention, whether it be even other things. And you've made gods off in your life. You're saying to yourself, I can't do it. I can't change, I couldn't keep it. Always remember the words of Paul. You think of the history of Paul, where Paul came from. And the hatred that he had towards the Lord Jesus Christ and towards the gospel. And yet God saved him. He heard the news on the road to Damascus. He heeded that news. He followed after the Lord. At a later date, what would he say? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. By the grace of God, I am what I am. The change in Paul was only possible by grace. The permanency of that change was only possible by grace. That's the same for us all. You can only be saved by grace. You'll never save yourself. You can only be kept by grace. You'll never keep it yourself. The grace of God is there to each one today. There's been grace in hearing the news. I know now that there'll be grace in heeding it. In believing the message of the gospel. And even now in your own heart turning and going straight to Christ. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Father in heaven, we bow before thee. Lord, we thank thee for the grace of God. We thank thee, O Lord, this day that thou art still giving that grace to many, many individuals. Lord, thou hast promised that thou wilt have mercy on whom thou wilt have mercy, and show compassion on whom thou wilt show compassion. And Father, we thank thee for those that have heard, and even at a later date will listen to this message and will hear, Lord, the words whereby they can be saved. O Father, we pray that not only will they hear the gospel, but oh, that this day that they will heed it. That men and women, boys and girls who have rejected the offer of salvation up until this very moment will now turn from their sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with us and bless us. Take us to our homes in safety. Bring us again this night, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.